Okay, thank you. This obviously the same authors as the previous paper. One thing I would note that Ed Barnes, the macro that Rob mentioned, he's the one that actually wrote it. So if you see anything wrong with the macro, check with him. What I would like to do today is just simply tell you how I'm using Q-score in my breeding program. Certainly, if you've been involved in cotton breeding for any number of time, you realize that there's some complicating factors of involving quality, fiber quality, into a breeding program. Six of these I'm going to suggest today. First of all, is quality is not always well defined and may change over time. There's factors that are involved with that. To some extent, we're dealing with a moving target when we're trying to define quality. But generally, though, longer, finer, stronger fibers are considered the best. A second complicating factor is this relationship of fiber properties and spinning performance. And this is some aspects that Don was talking about. Fiber needs may change with different spinning methods and just simply what the definition of spinning performance is. I can assure you that I do not know a great deal about fiber properties, but I know less about spinning performance. So that's, and I can get very confused. A third complicating factor is simply the value of high fiber quality. We can sometimes, when we define high quality fiber, the producers start getting premium, and as soon as they get enough of that premium cotton, it goes no longer being premium, it becomes not discounted. We've recently seen this with fiber strength over the years. And the main thing is, from our perspective, we need to be able to maintain market based on our fiber quality. A fourth complicating factor is that quality is often negatively associated with high yield and early maturity. I can assure you, I can give you a very good fiber, high fiber quality variety. It may not yield very well, but I can give you a good one that has good high fiber quality, and I'll be showing you a little bit of data that reaffirms that. The fifth complicating factor from a breeding standpoint is some of these factors do not have a high heritability. So start selecting for them, they're a little bit difficult to move in the right direction. And the final complicating factor is that there's multiple fiber properties. And particularly, you start getting into APHIS measurements, there's a whole array of different ones. And of these six complicating factors, the last one is the only one that we're really addressing with Q-score in being able to put these different fiber properties parameters into one measurement. As already has been mentioned, it's calculated with Q-score ranging from 0 to 100. And we assume, from my standpoint as a breeder, that a higher Q-score indicates fiber property. And I would suggest to you not to, I use this term one-stop shopping in front of the Cotton Technical Committee on Quality, TCCQ. Anyway, that committee. And they quickly started throwing things at me. So if you're, for me as a breeder, it's one parameter I can use, but don't say it's one-stop shopping. I'll just give you that warning. The way I'm using it is basically as a general indicator of quality and variety test, then as a selection index in my breeding work. These weights have already been mentioned. It has not been mentioned, as I understand from Don, is that Mike Watson. I had Wallace, and I knew that was wrong. I'm sorry, Mike, is responsible for these weights. And I guess you can assume from Don's paper that Mike was wrong. That's basically what he said. But these are the weights that I've used so far with this measurement. I note that you can add elongation and short fiber index. I did not use those. Trash and color are not available. And for most of our breeding samples, if you're doing hand samples, trash depends upon who picked the hand sample. So it really is not relevant from that standpoint. And to look at the effects of year, site, and cultivar, I'm going to be showing you some data from 16 cultivars that were common to the 2006 through 2008 Arkansas variety, cotton variety tests. There are four sites each year. Q-score was calculated on two reps per site per year, and we run a NOVA over years and sites. And I'm going to just simply show you the analysis variance here. And this is very typical of what you find for lint yield. everything's significant. Years, all the sites, cultivars, and all the interactions are significant for lint yield, and that's that first column on the left. The other, the HVI traits, micronair, length, uniformity index, and strength. Again, it's very common that we didn't. How do they do the marker here? This is just about too common. Oh, there it is. Okay. Now, if I can chew and walk at the same time, I'd be good in shape. As we often find, location has very little effect or interaction effects upon these parameters. However, we did find quite a bit of noise when we involved year and year by site location. The thing that really I thought was very interesting here is that Q-score seemed to take out a lot of that noise. The major effects at year and cultivar were significant, but none of the interactions were significant. I will not guarantee that you take another subset of cultivars that this would happen, but since this is the way it happened here, that's the way it is. But I think it does show that you take out a lot of noise. The other aspect on these data I thought was interesting is the correlation or the consistency of Q-score over year. Comparing 06 and 07, a correlation 0.83, 06 and 08, 0.85, and 0.9 of 07 and 08. So it's very consistent from year to year for the different cultivars. Now, this slide illustrates what I indicated before, that it's kind of hard to get, if we assume Q-score is a measurement of quality, it's kind of hard to get Q-score, high quality, and good yield and good agronomic characteristics. You see this over seven tests over these three different years. The ones and bows are significantly different from zero, but you can see the direction is pretty much all negative. You go higher quality, you'll tend to have lower lint yield, lower lint percent, lower percent open bows, that is later maturity, lower fibers per seed, and lower fiber density. So that's this negative relationship that we as breeders have to contend with in trying to get both yield and quality into the same line. Well, the way I've used Q-score is I'm going to illustrate with individual plant selection. Would be very similar to the way I do with progeny rows. With individual plant selection, we get HVI data to calculate Q-score. Once I get that data, I simply sort it by Q-score and eliminate generally about the lowest 30%. And this is the thing where this really helps. In years past, I would take a half day wrestling with HVI data. Well, it's got good strength, but not very good here, and balancing and trying to figure out. Some of the obvious ones were easy to throw away. Others were very difficult. With Q-score, I simply discard 30%. I will go back and some of those marginal ones on the line, I now will go back and examine them and sometime rescue some that I'd originally thrown away. We then discard those individual plants before we ever plant them, usually before we delint them even. Similarly, in progeny rows, we use HVI data sort by Q-score. It avoids having to examine each one of them. And here we'll compare it to what its Q-score was the previous year as an individual plant, as well as compare it to checks. And this helps to discard the ones that has the lower quality. Here's just an illustration of some individual plants over the last 3 years, 2006 through 2008. 2006 is before I had Q-score. And in these sets of individual plants, there were about 600 to 900 individual plants within each year of these groups. You see, in 2006, I wrestled around. I probably kept some I shouldn't have kept, and probably threw away some that I shouldn't have. But this noise right in here indicates the difficulty of wrestling with that. 2007, I just drew a line. I was convinced Q-score was the answer to all of our problems, so anything that was 50 or less, I just threw it away. Well, my conscience started bothering me in 2008, and I decided I initially took those ones that I threw away, and then I went back and sorted by fiber length and some of these other characteristics and rescued a few that I'll probably throw away in the next generation, but that's beside the fact. Within replicated strain and variety tests, very similar. We use it to calculate Q-score, run ANOVA here, and then look at the high Q-score among the highest yields. And I'll illustrate that in a few minutes. But here is the how I've done it with the strains test. In 2007 is the first time I started reporting Q-score, and I ran the data. And this one line had in one location, one rep had 100. My first assumption was that I'd made a mistake or data entry wrong. But then I went back and calculated to see what it was the previous 2 years, and I noted that it was extremely high as a progeny and as an advanced progeny. And you can see it stayed up there very well. The beauty of this, or at least from my standpoint, is that we're combining good yield and fiber quality in this one line. So we're pretty excited about that. In a variety test, this is the kind of the approach that I'm suggesting our producers use Q-score, not as a one-stop shopping for quality, but simply go in and look at my yield, which is always right. Here is the, in this year, I think it was 10. These were the 10 top yielding varieties over locations in our 2008 test. If you notice from the LSD, there was no significant difference between these 10. So what I'm suggesting to do is go, first of all, as Rob suggested, you look at yield, and then among the top yielding ones, go over and look at the Q score. And you see out of those 10, there was two that had significantly higher Q score. So get yield in your basket, then go and select your high Q score. So the benefits of Q score in a cotton breeding program, variety testing, it's easy to calculate. Use this macro spreadsheets, very easy to put the data in and push a button and run it, it does it if you put them in there right. Secondly, the weights, as we've indicated before, they may be adjusted to meet specific objectives. Whether we call this Q-score 1, Q-score 2, or what, it's if I'm wanting to increase strength, I'm going to probably I will adjust that Q-score to put more emphasis on that. I think the thing that from a breeding standpoint, particularly when we're dealing with 1,000 or more individual plants and these progeny rows, this time and effort and gray hair that sorting through all that data causes. This is a great benefit. It takes less time and effort. And when you get to, you don't have to pull your hair out. And when you get my age, you don't want to pull any hair out. It's coming out easily enough anyway. It facilitates, and I really feel like this is true, that it's facilitating high yield and improved quality at the same time. And from my standpoint, it has really caused me to put a much higher priority on fiber quality. Basically what I'm doing in the analogy of Bob Bridge used to talk about getting all the monkeys up one tree, I'm putting the fiber quality monkey up that tree first and then try to fit everything else with it. So that's, if there's any question, I'd be happy to try to address them. Yes, Melanie. Yes, I have, and some people with that group weren't real pleased that I've been doing that, but I don't care. Yes, I do, but I you know, and our producers really want they probably can't understand, but they don't want to have to, well, this got good length, this got good strength, this is, you know, and then with a loan value doesn't discriminate any. They want a one number that is an indicator. It's not the final thing, and what Rob's data has shown is this is a very conservative type of measurement in terms of defining quality. And again, from the breeding standpoint, his normal distribution, I got real excited when I saw that. I said, that's a biological indicator that I can select off of a normal distribution. The Poisson, I couldn't. I answered your question, and something else came to my mind is the reason I went on. Right.
That don't differ in yield, I think it complicates the decision for the growers.
Sure, it does. And yeah, and I think what this does, loan value is there's not much difference there. Is that and this gives something that they might not get paid for Q-score. I think that was kind of a question to Rob. But for our industry, that's on push our quality up. And that's on preserve our area of expert, our market. Yeah. Bill Meredith. Uh-oh. Yeah, yes. I didn't actually run a correlation on that. That illustration, that one line, it was very consistent. I didn't have it as an individual plant, did I? It's been consistent over generations. I haven't run actually a correlation of that. But I feel confident that if it's, you know, fiber length and all, it's if you get it up there, it'll stay up there, and that's what's really driving Q-score to a large extent. But you're probably talking about the sampling from an individual. Are you talking about the sampling aspect?
Yes.
Okay. I can't answer that. But I throw it away anyway. Okay, thank you.
Let's thank Dr. Borland.